Welcome to New Life Church teaching titled, Three Kings, Prophecy Fulfilled. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
You realize how hard it is to follow the Holy Spirit? I mean, come on. I ain't got a chance. Amen. I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, I think it is. Before I start, I'm going to speak today on, and I feel as though I'm not going to hopefully speak that long. I want to get through my message pretty quick, and I just like for us to have some prayer at the end, and I should worship the Lord with one more song and to bring a completion. And you know, the word gratitude is, that's a huge word. You know, as far as I can tell, about everybody in here stood up. You had a witness of gratitude. And I'm speaking on the three wise men today. They had gratitude for the king. And I know this is the Sunday after Christmas, but I felt like I was to speak on the three wise men. And, you know, there's not that many messages I've ever heard on the three wise men, but it's always intrigued me. And I've always wondered about what was the message. Why is it in the scriptures? Why did God put in there about the three wise men? And it was their gratitude that they had for the Savior, for the King. But you've got to keep in mind also that the three wise men were not believers, as you and I. They're called, you know, another word for magi, for the three kings, the three wise men, is magi. I just said it. Okay. In the scripture, it's called the magi. And that term means that they were astronomers. They understood the stars. But they also had respect. They were learned men. They knew what they were looking at. And God used, they would be considered the scientific minds of that time. They were called the magi. We actually get the word magic from the word magi, where the word magic comes from, with astrology and those type things. We have a little different edge on magic today than what was used then, but nonetheless, they were studied the stars, and they were considered the scientific group of the age. And so it's like God used the world to bring a testimony unto the Christ child. They were not believers like you and I, but yet they showed respect and honor because they knew who they were going to see. Isn't that amazing? You know that? Did you know that the world still gives that same testimony as the three wise men? The world still gives testimony of the birth of Christ. What year is it? It's 2012. 2012 what? From who started counting 2012? It's from Christ. Who goes by 2012? The whole world gives testimony. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, everybody goes by 2012. So every time you write 2012, you're giving testimony unto what the three wise men gave testimony to. So whether the world admits it, they know it. The only difference in us is we admitted it a little quicker. But in the end, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that it's 2012. That Jesus Christ is Lord. So the wise men, let's read it. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Verse 2. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? They're come to what? Now listen, you got to remember, in prophecy, in the prophetic, you have symbols, you have signs. Today, if someone's in Hollywood or some great singer, we call them what? A star. Why do we call them a star? Where do we get a star from? A star idea comes out of Matthew chapter 2. I've got news for you. There's not but one star. His name's Jesus. Stars everywhere are trying to be worshiped. If you want to be a star, you need to be a fallen star, or you'll be a fallen star. There's not but one star. His name's Jesus. And it's unto that star that we're following and that we'll worship. So that's what they were saying. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Verse 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Verse 7. Then Herod went. He had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So here Herod, when the wise men came into town, they got hold of Herod and say, hey, we're looking for this child. And Herod all of a sudden said, okay, what child? Herod tried to buddy up to the three wise men. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. A false worshiper. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Next, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So they knew, God had showed them that King Herod was actually after the Christ child. And if you go on in the story, that's where they have the children, Mary and Joseph, of course, flee. And give me my first slide, please. So the title of my teaching is Prophecy That Is Being Fulfilled, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now these three, I want us to focus on the spirit of the three wise men. What did they do? They brought, talk to me, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, those are three symbols. I'm not going to get into those symbols, but those are three symbols that those three wise men brought to Jesus to show that they were worshiping him. We just read that. So the Magi were men who read and did what? Now we know that they had to have known God's word to know that the star, through prophecy, that they were to follow it. But the Spirit made the star relevant to them. The Spirit made the star relevant to the wise men. Why do you think we call wise men wise men? Because they had revelation of the star. If you've got revelation of the star, you're a person of wisdom. For in the star lies all wisdom of the Spirit. Could we be in touch with the revelation of that? Another thing they did, they sought after Jesus. They got on their camels and they rode. They went after him. So number one, they read and they believed God's word. They had to know God's word to know the revelation of the star. The second thing was they went after him. So those are two things as this church we want to be guilty of. We want to know God's word. And if you come in this place, if it looks like we're Jesus freaks, glory hallelujah. We are succeeding because we're seeking after Him. We have found Him and are looking for Him at the same time. Now, they recognized something. They brought Him gifts, so they recognized what? They recognized the worth of Christ. So as we come in here today, I want you to understand something. These are the things that the enemy is going to be attacking in your life. Number one is God's Word. Number two, he's going to try to keep you from seeking Him. And number three, he's constantly trying to devalue Christ. The other thing they did, they humbled themselves to worship Jesus. Now, I'm a 60-year-old grown man. And when I worship, I want to raise my hands as a little child before God. Listen, if it makes you uncomfortable when people worship God, you're just not quite humble enough yet. I can say that with all sincerity because it's me. Some of you are stretching me yet. Listen, we'll know when we have arrived, when there's one fella in here, I'll not call his name, but he'll dance a jig in front of you and God in this church. You'll know that's a little sneaky on my part there. Uh-oh. Now we know that they were truly wise. It was at this time that God wanted to give His greatest gift to mankind. So now here's what I want us to catch. This church, any church, we want to be a church of the Word and the Spirit. How can we run after Spirit? How can the Spirit of God be more than just a catchword or a cliche? Or how can it be more than us just saying it, hoping it happens? Well, Jesus showed us, God shows us at the birth of Christ. It was at this time that God wanted to give the greatest gift to mankind. This gift would be a living example of the Spirit of God in human form, and God would be giving all that He had in and through this gift. Now, here's what I want you to capture just for a moment. Three wise men. They're going to visit Jesus. Their goal was to give a gift to Jesus. That is one that they had never met. They just read about Him, so they ran after Him. They were going to pursue Him. They took Him gifts. Now, what is the deal about gifts? Do you really think God needs gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I don't think so. But there's something about the giving of the gift. There's a spiritual transaction. Now, I want to submit to you, if you'll follow me and catch this. When we give of ourselves, it's the biggest thing that you, in your life, it's the biggest spiritual transaction that you can do outside of salvation. It's when you give. Giving opens a door in the heavens. Giving opens a door in the heavens. Malachi, try God. Give. He'll reward you, pressed down, running over. Now, this message is not about money. This message is about you giving of yourself. When you give, if you want to, listen, if you want to feel God, go give something. I was listening to a radio station last week, and I was trying to assemble these thoughts, and this lady came on this one station. She was just bawling. She's just crying. And the fella said, well, okay, what is it, ma'am? I'm sorry, we're kind of trying to look for something. She said, listen, I just went through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and there's this car behind me, and the Lord just told me to pay for their dinner, too, and I paid for mine and theirs, and I just drove off, and I saw them, they pulled up there, and their hands went up just like that. I just had to call somebody, and I called the radio station. She bought them a happy meal. And God run all over. You mean God's as close as a happy meal was for her? Because she gave. They didn't know who it was and never would know who it was. They just gave. Now here's what I want you to consider. Giving opens spiritual windows. All right, I'm on a mission. I want to raise the the experiential presence of God in this place as much as possible. So I am on a mission. I'm trying to stack the deck in the favor of the kingdom of God. Because I want everyone that comes in here, they can feel the presence of God. Now listen, if I could just squint my eyes hard enough and jump up and down hard enough, it'd make it happen, I'd do that too. But as I was studying, trying to find, I said, God, you got to show us more. The first place He took me was to giving. He said, when I gave my son, I gave the biggest gift. So God knew what giving was. Watch this. It is God's nature to give all of the time, and when He gives, a supernatural element is released. Now here's what you got to understand. Is how many people in here want to be in the business of the supernatural? Right, now listen, test what I'm saying. I'm telling you the truth. When you give something, a supernatural element's released. When that lady bought a Happy Meal, I don't know what they got, but I know what she got. They might have got a fry, right? But she got a dose of the Holy Ghost. She said, I just never felt so good. She said, I ain't never done nothing like that in my life. And Leighton Man said, okay, let me, okay, we appreciate it. Just settle down, settle. But you don't understand, I feel so good. She said, I feel like Christmas. Is that what it means when we give gifts at Christmas? Could it be that that's a symbol? It's a symbol. Have we lost the symbol? When we give, it releases a supernatural element. So as a church, we want to be a giving church. What you're ever in need of, you give of. If you need money, give money. If you need food, give food. Whatever you give is going to come back to you. If you need some help, go help somebody. If you need some clothes, give your coat. It's the way it works. You give and it comes back. Do you give so it'll come back? Listen, I'd heard I can't call his name, but it was this fella. And he has a business. And he gives away 95% of his profit and keeps 5% for himself to live on. Gives away 95%. He was being interviewed, and this guy said, how do you give away 95%? He said, well, it didn't start that way. He said, I started off just giving a little, and he said, then I started giving a little more, and said, then all this stuff come in, so I started giving it out, And he said, but you're just keeping 5% and you have for 25 years or something. He said, yeah, I'll just keep 25% or 5%. He said, what are you worth? He said, I have no idea what I'm worth. Listen, he's got a separate company of people that's hired that just gives the stuff away. I'm telling you the truth. If I'd call his name, you'd know who it is, but I can't call his name. I don't want to distract it from what I'm trying to say. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual truth. I believe that going into 2013, things are going to get harder and tighter. I think the years that are set before us are going to be hard. It's going to be strapping for all of us. So I'm giving you a prophetic message on what you do about it. Times are going to get tight and they're going to get hard. People are going to be hungry, need clothes, need housing. I'm going to tell you how we're going to fix it. I'll tell you how to fix it in your life. It can be hard out there, but the richest people in Alexander County will be the people who go to New Life. It's because we know how to combat it. We combat it by giving. We combat it by giving it away. God sent His Son, Jesus. He gave His life. He gave everything He had. God knew when He did that, that it released a supernatural element. He sent three wise men who weren't even their believers. They gave testimony. They even brought something to give away. There's a supernatural door that opens. Let me move on. A supernatural element is released. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God gave. God didn't make you. He gave you the opportunity. God created you as a free agent to join Him in giving. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you give Him away? Do we give Him away? Are we consciously giving Him away at work and to our friends? Do we give? Do we help people? Do we help those in need? Do we just give something away? Just think, every day that is experienced is a day which has been created and given as a gift by the Father. Every day that we live is a gift. Would you like to give to others as the Father gives? Would you like to know the secret of the spirit of giving? Now, this spirit of giving is what we as a church want to be found guilty of. All right? Listen, you can give and not love, but you can't love and not give. Amen. What did I say? I was trying to remember it. You can give and not love, but you can't love and not give. Ooh, that kind of winged me there a little bit too. Okay. Jesus is God's greatest gift, has given more to mankind than anyone who has ever been born. I want you to capture this thing called giving and giving away. That's where I'm going with this. He has given us instructions for how we begin the secret journey of gift giving. First of all, He knew He had to go to the source of all things if He was going to be a gift giver. When we walk in unity with God, what Jesus did was He walked in unity with God. He figured out how that unity worked. Jesus knew that within Himself He had nothing to give, but when He cooperated and worked with the Father, all of a sudden, everything the Father owned became substance that He could give away. And you say, Alan, I don't believe it. Well, the only thing I can tell you is you hadn't tried it. Because it's the truth. Listen, the church, we're not giving near enough stuff away. We're poor and weak and all of the above, and it's not supposed to be that way. It's just not supposed to be that way. We're looking for God to bless us when we're supposed to give so that seed can bring forth increase, according to Matthew chapter 13, first parable. His faith in the Father made Him one with Him. Now, remember the oneness. Remember when I said the word gratitude a little bit ago? Then all of a sudden you had a witness of it, right? You just had a witness that was what the Spirit. Everybody was feeling that made us all one. It was a oneness encounter. We were all feeling it in the Spirit at the same time. Now, when we have faith in God, that makes us one with Him. When you're not one with God, it's when you don't have faith with God. That means you're separate from God. To be one with God is to have faith in God. That brings the oneness. Jesus is our example of a gift giver. Jesus had faith that the Father would show Him what He should give each and every day. And His faith became what? It became substance. My clicker stuck her. Give me some substance on the upper side. There you go. Jesus knew the Father wanted to create and give something new and fresh each day. Therefore, Jesus would talk and then think with the Father every day. Now, I'm going to start getting into what robs us, what keeps us from accomplishing this task. Now, as Christians, we are supposed to think differently than non-Christians. Did you know that? Our thinking is to be a different thinking. It's amazing when, as God changes my thinking, how much more I want my thinking to change. I was talking to a person this past week, and we're talking about things of the Spirit becoming evident, you know, the spiritual world and this sort of stuff. And he come to me and he said, "Alan, I noticed when I see people sometime, I see them like they're 30 years old. They can be 50, 60, 70, 80, but I see them as like a 30-year-old person." And the person, and they said, what's happening to me? Am I going crazy? Or I said, no, here's what's happening. I said, you're seeing spirit. I said, when we're all in heaven, we're going to be probably around 30, 32 years old, probably the age about where Christ was. So I said, you're actually seeing, in other words, the spirit world is breaking through into the natural world. I said, another thing that'll happen too when you start doing that, all of a sudden colors will get bright. All of a sudden, red's red, green's green, blue's blue. When you start breaking through in spirits, all of a sudden colors get real bright. Well, about 2 days after that, he texted me and said, okay, it just happened. Colors got bright. Now, I told him, I said, now what happens when those things start happening? You say, well, Alan, it sounds a little crazy. It hadn't ever happened to me. That's okay. It's going to. I said, listen, you've given a lot away in the last week or something. I said, you've opened a window, and you've given a lot of something away. Because spirit worlds, it's just kind of breaking through on you pretty heavy. Now, this is a person who doesn't talk that type language necessarily or whatever. Just, you know, that just doesn't happen. But trust me, they were completely messed up. And they said, yes, I did. I sure did. He said, you got to be kidding. Of course, I wanted to tell him, now don't go away and give away everything, but I didn't. What happened was he was opening a spiritual door in heaven, and the spirit world and the natural world starts revealing itself some. You know, there's some people that can see angels and some can't. You know, I've just seen them two times, and it scared me to death both times, so it didn't do me a bit of good. Scared me. I thought, carry on a conversation or something, it scared the bejeebies out of me. So I haven't really looked for it a third time. I thought, I'm not going to get that one. I can tell. And it's just for a moment. It's a fleeting thing. And honestly, truly, I don't think I'm crazy or anything. I know the person saw the colors and the people when they were 30. But my point is this. He was giving. And it started open. I don't know how the spiritual world will reveal itself to you. I have no idea. The only thing I can tell you, as you give the spiritual world. Now listen, the purer the giving, the clearer the spirit. You're not looking for anything in return. You don't want anybody to know, perhaps. But you're giving and you're helping. Sometimes people know it's not a big deal. I wouldn't die if they did or not. But I'm just saying you can have a pure giving. Also in a pure giving, it raises the eyes of the dark side. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. Just the way it is. Only thing I can tell you is run fast. Give a lot, as long as you can, as quick as you can. Now, if we want to be a gift giver, we must talk to the Father, and then we must think in a certain way, in a different way than we normally do. So as this particular person had been giving, he'd been in prayer, been in study, been walking close with the Father, and the Lord gave him instructions on what to give. So that's what the oneness is for. We must understand that how we do things is a direct result of the way we think. Again, as Christians, we're not to think like other people. I have learned at 60, when I'm around Christians that look a little crazier than I am, I just know they're thinking different than I am. That's all. Listen, somebody's pushing everybody. Now listen, you might think that this church can push you a little or an individual. Everyone in here, somebody's stretching somebody in here. None of us are comfortable with us. Everybody's stretching each other. Is that okay for me to say? You feel at home now. Everybody's stretching somebody in here. And the reason for that is we're allowing for God to stretch us all however how He wants to stretch us. We have a very high level of trust in God to do with His people with what He wants to do. A very low trust in people, but a high trust in God in His people. And we're learning that we don't want to think like the world. We want to think as God wants us to think. If we want to do things in life in a certain way, then we must learn to think in a way that will be in harmony with the certain way we want life to be. I can say that one again because I wrote her down. If we want to do things in life in a certain way, then we must learn to think in a way that will be in harmony with the certain way we want life to be. I was talking to a fellow the other day, he cusses a lot, and I said to him, I said, what are you calling the devil for? He'll find you quick enough. He said, what do you mean? I said, he follows them cuss words. He likes them. Just like an antenna. I said, I'm trying to be incognito. You see, listen, I'm kind of kidding, I'm kind of not. You know what I'm saying? I want to be careful of what spirits I draw. You see, now how you talk has everything to do with what you draw. It does. If your life is repeating itself over and over and over and over, you're having the same conversation over and over and over and over. Because it's repeating itself. How you think has it. Listen, the life that you're living today is what you thought yesterday. You think it before it happens. So if you want life to be in a certain way, you got to think a certain way that's in harmony with the way you want your life to be. So as Christians, we want to change our thinking. I don't agree with myself in a lot of things a year ago. I'm in disagreement with myself. So it's not a requirement with me that we agree. Because I know we're all going to change. Our relationship with each other at this church is based on Christ. You love Jesus, we love Jesus, and we're like this. And we're all changing. We're wanting to be changed into the image of Christ. We're wanting to change our thinking. We don't fight too much for how we think around here because we know we're going to change it. So just hang on. We're not wanting to stay where we are. We want to be where we're going. We don't want to stay here. It's great here, but we're going somewhere. This next year is going to be hard. I think the next year is going to be hard, but it's going to be better than the 5 years after that. And I think the 6 years before the next 10 years is going to be better than the 10 years after that. It is required of us as Christians and believers on the Most High God that we get our act together and we think like we need to think because so we can go where we need to go. And I'm telling you, we're all going to be in the poorhouse sitting in here if we don't start giving like God's telling us to give. So we can give away into security and the peace of God. God's got more than He's wanting to take care of than just who's in here. So He's going to bless you to bless them. Okay, let me get on. John 14:6. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the way we're wanting to get. Jesus also wanted to set free the riches of the kingdom of heaven, and He knew that only the truth could accomplish this heavenly task. Now He knew He's the truth and the way and the life. The truth. We have to change our way of thinking and align it with the truth. So we must think in a certain way in order to be in harmony with the truth. It's like as Christians, we're wanting the truth to prove itself to us before we'll believe it. Right? We're saying, God, okay, if that's true, just prove it to me. Okay, God, You bless me and I'll give. That's not thinking right. You got to say, God, I want to give. God says, well, give. And I'll bless you in your giving. No, God, bless me and then I'll give. Say, well, Alan, I don't have but a nickel. Well, give a nickel. Well, say, Alan, I don't have any money, but I got an hour's worth of time. Give an hour's worth of time. Say, Alan, I don't have anything, but you know, I could take this person and go get their groceries. Give. You give. Now listen, this is not a suggestion. I am submitting it to you as mandatory for us to make it and survive the next 20 years. The church of Jesus Christ has got to get a lot more abnormal. So when people around us are in need and starving and needing help, they need to know they can come here because we're a blessed people. And we'll bless them. And we'll not have to monitor with how much we bless you with. We're just going to bless you. Because we know there's more coming. You say, Alan, do you believe it? I believe it with all my heart. Believe it with everything within me. I'm saying it prophetically with where we need to be for the next 20 years. A church that gives. We're out of necessity. To think and live life in truth for the future requires much more of us than allowing our present surroundings to tell us how we think and live. Uh-oh. You got to be careful here. You can't give a news report. You turn on the news. I mean, my land, whatever happened to the news? Whatever happened to Humphrey and Brinkley and some of them? I mean, they used to give you the news. Now it's like I'm not sure if I'm watching sci-fi or the new. I'm not sure what I'm watching. If you go by what's going on around us now, and if you want to be depressed, just watch the news every day. Now you're talking about pulling you down. That thing will pull you down. Now listen, the truth we're shooting for, there's a spiritual. There's a spiritual truth in the Bible called first mention and last mention. Last mention carries the weight in the Scriptures. It's a spiritual law. In other words, first mention of sacrifice is you kill three turtle doves and whatever, put it on the altar. That's first mention of sacrifice. What's the last mention of sacrifice? Jesus Christ. Okay, which one carries the weight now? It's the last mention. Now, that's a spiritual law and rule. So anytime you're in a conversation, you got to understand as the people of God, your words are spirit. They're creative. Now, you might can say, you know, I really had a bad week, first mention. But I'm trusting God for my result, last mention. I'm not saying you deny the reality of what's happening. Just be sure and end it with, bless my little heart. Remember, first mention, it's just a spiritual law. First mention and last mention. I don't care what you say, end it with the truth of God. We're not denying crisis nor anything, but we want to end it with the truth of God. That means you got to change the way you think. Because usually we're telling everybody this bad stuff, not understanding that we got to let God have the last mention on the spiritual law. We got to think differently. Now, we can even pray in our prayer, say, God, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, but God, we know what your word says. And listen, I was told that I had 3 to 6 months to live when I was 37. I'm 60. Which one prevailed, first mention or last mention? Had people pray for me. Last mention trumped first mention. And you know what? Oh, I wasn't even sure if I believed it when they were doing it. I was so sick, I didn't care. A lot of people say, well, Alan, you got to have enough faith for it. I didn't have that much. For those that praying for me, I'll tell you what now. Hate skin peeling off an orange. They prayed something on me. I didn't know what was hitting me. First mention, last mention. Learn it. People of God, learn your last mention in anything that you say, anything that you do, because it carries the most weight. We must think and live in truth, regardless of our surroundings. The type of thinking is creative in nature. Last mentions brings creativity. First mention brings observation. Last mention brings creativity. Are you with me? How many people want to change your future? The way we change our future is we walk with God in creating our future. Now, Jesus did not think according to his surroundings. Our surroundings are only the truth of the past and not the truth of the future. Now, the enemy's constantly trying to get us to dwell on our past too much. We can see our past, but then the last mention is, but God. That's how I always make my transitions, but God. I'll say, but God. This happened, but God. Right? So we're always making that transition into the truth of the future. Our surroundings are proof of past thinkings. This type of past thinking is very easy and requires no effort, and it will not bring new and fresh things to give away. Now, my point is this. How can we be a people that is a giving church, is a giving thing, is a giving people? Well, if you view what you're going to give on your past, you're not going to have much to give, are you? So we've got to change our thinking. Now, if we are going to be gift givers and give out of the treasures of heaven, we must start thinking and living for the future and not thinking and living out of our past. We must start doing as Jesus said. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do only what He sees the Father doing. Remember that God is creating what? A new day. And every day, and He wants us to do what? Create it with Him. Now, these are just words unless you catch the spirit of what I'm saying. These are big words. To do this, we must have a creative type of thinking and not a competitive type of thinking. All right, Alan, what's the difference? Competitive thinking is the ways of the world. Creative things is thinking is the ways of the Spirit. Competitive thinking says this, what you lose, I gain. Creative thinking says this, we both win. See, when God does stuff, everybody wins. Ways of the world is you lose, I gain. The abundance of giving I'm talking about is creative thinking. It is very hard to maintain this type of creative thinking, especially when our surroundings contradict the truth and our thinking. But this is where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm bringing this teaching, and I know a lot of you know what I'm saying here. But I'm bringing it in light of the next 20 years. Next year's going to be hard, but it's going to be the best year of the next 16 years. 5 years after next year is going to be harder than next year. The 10 years after that 5 years, I believe, is going to be devastating. Doesn't mean it's right, but I believe it. I would prepare for it as a people. If I'm wrong, you're going to have a lot. If I'm right, you're going to have what you need. Every action in the world which is seen will produce an image in the mind. Now listen to me. I want us to be a productive people. Every action in the world which is seen will produce an image in the mind that will start a conflict of past versus future. Now, I'm telling you where the spiritual warfare here is. It's past versus future. Every time you see something on TV or something can happen in your life today or whatever's happening, it will begin an image in your mind that's in conflict with the last mention of what God says. We all go through the battle. It's all real. I'm just exposing it. It's all there and it's all real. Only the truth sustained by faith will change the future. Can you consider this fact that you create with God? Can you handle that one? Can you consider that you, or are you living life just by happenstance? Well, this life is what it is. If you are, you're going to be hurting turkey the next few years. When we walk in this, we will flee from all fear and doubt and walk with the Father into a new day of created abundance from the kingdom of God. It is from the abundance of the kingdom that we can give gifts to God and man. God sent His Son to this earth as an eternal gift to mankind. God's major gift is giving. Giving freely. Giving when there is no appreciation, giving when He is not recognized, giving not expecting anything in return, giving because He what? I can give and not love, but I can't love and not give. God first loved us, and He gave. If we truly love each other, will give to each other. God gives because He sees into the future. He knows that giving freely is pure spirit, and pure spirit will last forever. It transcends time and space and will last for eternity. That happy meal for that lady went in the Lamb's Book of Life. Guts down to her place down there, one happy meal. That's something. Y'all don't, okay. It's a truth. I mean, help my time, it's a truth. The life of Jesus was given freely, and God expects nothing in return from us. Now, you got to catch the pure giving. Pure giving is not manipulation. Pure giving is always expecting nothing in return. Check yourself. How do you know you're giving? Because you're expecting nothing in return. All we need to do is receive this wonderful gift from our Father. How do I receive the things of the kingdom of God? Do what? Just believe. I want to ask the worship team to come on up and allow yourself to believe that what God has said is what? Is true. Now, next year this time, you're going to remember this teaching. And you're going to say, Alan, I understand what you're saying. Because I know this teaching's about a year before its time. But as God's people, I'm to tell you the truth of where we're headed. Times are going to be tough, but it doesn't have to be for God's people. Listen, a light shines brighter in greater darkness. The opportunity of the church in the next 15 or 20 years is the greatest in history. Listen, we can't get ready when it happens. We got to get ready now. So we can truly, listen, I'm not talking about giving somebody, I'm talking about us feeding families. I'm talking about really, I'm talking about us having so much to give away, we don't know what to do with all of it. Now listen, I prophesy that to this church. If you've got a witness of it, it's all I ask. Is that, I'm stuck again? I thought that was it. I'm going to ask us all to stand. And we're going to do one more worship song. And I hope and pray that you can catch the spirit of what I'm trying to share. There again, I know that it's about a year away, but nonetheless, our giving can start today. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Let's be as the three wise men are. Let's worship the Lord. If anybody has any need of prayer, we have those. If you would come up, right up here, if you for healing or salvation. You say, listen, Alan, I really want to be a wise man, one of these wise men. I really want to be one of these that gives out of an overabundance. I really want to be that. Well, if that's you, I just want you to raise your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Say, Alan, I want to give out of this abundance. I want to be this a tremendous giver. Lord Jesus, I pray right now. At these hands, oh God. Dear God, let this church, let us be known. Let New Life be known. Let all the churches of the county be known. If you need to find God, He's here. Let this church be a church of giving. Let us give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us learn. Dear God, there's so much more, so much more, so much more about learning how to give. Teach us, oh God. Show us, oh God, let us give that you might look after us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship God in this one song. If you have any need of prayer, feel free to come up. Any sickness or anything. Remember, the wise men came. The wise men came. And it says, and they came to worship the Christ child. Let us give him his worship today.